For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to St. Thomas Sports Park for another edition of the Mike Mularkey Show. We look forward to your calls tonight at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Titans are 7-4 on the season after knocking off the Indianapolis Colts 20-16 at Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday. Tennessee plays at home this Sunday against the Houston Texans. Kickoff for that game is set for noon Central Time. That's 1 o'clock Eastern. We'll be on the air at 11 a.m. Central with Titans Countdown for that one. And then the Titans are on the road for two at Arizona on Sunday, December the 10th. That game is a 3:05 Central Time start. And then on the 17th of December at San Francisco, a 3:25 Central Time start. Titans will actually stay out west for that entire period of time, so they don't have to fly all the way back across the country and then back out to San Francisco at a point in the year where obviously you're headed into the final month of the campaign. Your players are somewhat tired from the grind of the season. You want to make it as easy on them as possible, and so the Titans are going to try to do that by consolidating two trips out west into one. At Arizona on December the 10th and at San Francisco on December the 17th. Of course, the Titans conclude the regular season against the LA Rams, who are 8-3. That is on December the 24th at Nissan Stadium. That game will kick off at noon Central Time. And then New Year's Eve, Jacksonville 7-4, also tied with the Titans atop the AFC South. That game is a noon start, and so two good ones to end the season at Nissan Stadium: Christmas Eve against the Rams, New Year's Eve against the Jaguars, and that is December football. The Titans are right in the middle of everything as they head into the season's final month with three home games, two road games, and both of those road games outside of the division and actually outside of the conference, as they'll be playing two NFC teams. But exciting to begin this run against the Texans. The Texans knocked off the Titans on October the 1st in Houston. That's week four. Final score was 57-14. Houston played last night at Baltimore. Three turnovers spelled doom for the Texans as they lost to the Ravens 23-16. Ravens now 6-5 on the season and very much in the playoff race in the AFC. The Texans will enter this game at 4-7, and the plan for Houston again this week is to start Tom Savage at quarterback. Savage was the starter to begin the year, began the first game of the season against Jacksonville, was lifted for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson exploded upon the scene and really had a nice start to his season, and then injured a knee in practice and was lost for the year. And so Watson is recuperating right now. The Texans go at quarterback with Tom Savage, also T.J. Yates, who's spent a couple of stints with them, in fact. And then Josh Johnson is another quarterback that has been on their roster, too. He's a ninth-year man out of San Diego. But what do they still do? They still run the football with Lamar Miller. Houston averaging 123 rushing yards per game. They throw for 223 yards per game. And on defense, still a very powerful front seven overall. Jadeveon Clowney playing his best football right now. He is up to 9 quarterback sacks on the season. They don't have J.J. Watt. They don't have Whitney Mercilus. They may have Brian Cushing back this week as he is coming off suspension. But what we do know is the Texans are very powerful in the front seven. They continue to be. And Mike Mularkey, as you join us, the Texans just really don't change that way. They're still the same team on defense, whether it's Romeo Crennel calling the signals or now Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, they've got very good personnel. I mean, they always have. I mean, their depth has been incredible. They don't miss a beat if somebody goes down. And, I mean, the last 2 years they've had injuries. And they're still one of the top defenses in the NFL.
Their size in that front seven is just – I mean, Bernardrick McKinney's 265 pounds. Brennan Scarlett is 260 pounds. The defensive linemen are all over 300 pounds. Clowney is – I mean, everybody who's listening knows Clowney's 6'5", 275. He's crazy big. Yeah. I mean, it's the old Bill Parcells theory, when in doubt, get a big guy.
No, they are built that way, especially up front with their with their defensive line. Tough guys to move on double teams. Tough to root them out of there. But we're going to have to do that and do it better than we have been.
Garrick in Gallatin is our leadoff caller tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. Garrick, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to Titans Radio. Hello, Garrick.
Hey. I'm sorry about that. I'm Garrett from Dixon, Tennessee.
Well, good to have you with us. Go right ahead for Coach.
All right. Hey, Coach. Hey. Look, I don't want to sound real negative to start the show off, but it almost seems like the mentality of the football team right now is surviving games instead of going out and controlling games and winning. Seems like the offense is really kind of sputtering and defense is keeping us in games. The end result's good, but how do we get the offense back on track and start putting away some of these teams that we need to be, you know, taken care of?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, and you know, I think you're right on, especially this last game. We the good part is we open up the game with two scoring drives, which we got to continue to do. Obviously, need touchdowns, but any points are good, as you see that had a big impact on the end of the game. We sputtered in the middle there. I think the Colts are playing better defense. They have been for the last 4 weeks. I think they don't get enough credit for the way they play. We got to do some things better, and we know that. Our team knows that. It's been addressed, and our guys will respond. But I like how they finish. I like how we're winning games. You know, when you don't play well and you can still win games, there's a lot to be said about that.
Twitter question from @TitansRadio, Mike. This is from Mike. With a league-leading 4 fourth-quarter overtime comeback wins this year behind Marcus Mariota, what do you attribute that to the most?
I think our locker room, our players in that locker room, very resilient. They know it's a 60-minute game, and you know, as long as we play our style, and you know, one side, the defense has been playing very well since last time we played Houston, and again, they've got to continue to do that. But we know with Marcus and the guys we got on that field and the guys we have in that locker room, we always have a chance. And that's been the case for the last 2 years. We've won a lot of close games. I don't know what compared to the rest of the league, but we've won a lot of close games. And if we got to continue to do that to keep rolling, we will.
Another Mike has a Twitter question. He wants to know, how much adjusting can you do on the sidelines? Does Marcus look at screenshots or use the tablet?
Both. You know, we have the tablet working for us. You know, I'm a paper guy. I like seeing, I guess I'm old school, but you can still get a lot of information off of it. And there are adjustments that take place in between series, just about every series. You know, we're talking through what took place, what we got to do differently, what we got to come back to. But we talk. There's constant conversation on the phones.
The adjustments on both sides are really amazing, because you're going to go out and do what you do, and then the other team's going to adjust to you, and then you have to come back and adjust to their adjustments. The pro game is so different in that way, isn't it?
It's much more complex, really, because there's so much more time to prepare. I mean, compared to college, where you're limited with the hours you can have your players and the time you get to spend with them in the classroom and on the field. So it is a little more complex, and you know, it's obviously it's way different than it used to be, with how to attack people and defenses. There's just so many things that now you've got to be prepared for, and you really got to be a smart player to play this game with all the things that are happening and how fast they happen now. And you know, I think it was really good, like your example of adjustments. They came out and did some things, the Colts, that we had not prepared for, you know, and they were going to counter some of the things they had seen on film, you know, some of the things we've been successful with. And then we came back and said, well, we're going to counter that. And that's what really took place in that fourth quarter. We gave them the impression of what we're going to do which we did earlier, and hit him going back the other way. And that was the difference in the game, where the adjustments our coaches made.
Your chance to talk to the head coach, Mike Mularkey, at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. We're certainly reading your Twitter questions, at Titans Radio. Houston played Baltimore last night on Monday Night Football. Did you sit and watch the game, or did you work on the Titans and then watch the tape of the game today?
Yes. I no, I worked on the run game last night. I start we started on Monday nights, kind of getting at least a good portion of it done, and then I start to look at the play action, drop back passes off of that on Monday night. And while I was doing that, I had the game on in my office, but I was working and still watching them.
Do you get any value at all in terms of preparation? I'm not meaning to talk about Sean McDonough and John Gruden, the job they do, but just from watching the game on TV, does a coach get any benefit towards prep, or is it really just the tape of the game where you get the benefit?
Oh, it's way more the tape. Yeah. You know, you can really digest a lot more of what's going on. I can see things. There are things that I wrote down that I've watched, and I just want to confirm it on tape. And there's obviously much more that I saw once I put it on this morning, bright and early.
Doesn't break your heart they played on Monday Night Football, though, does it?
No, not in being on the road, and then they got to get on the road again. Again, I didn't make the schedule up. We've had some tough circumstances.
Sure.
We've had to deal with. Everybody does. And, Bill O'Brien will do a good job of getting their guys ready to play us.
877-848-2671. Your questions for Mike Mularkey on Titans Radio. We're talking Tennessee Titans football from St. Thomas Sports Park in Nashville. This is the Mike Mularkey Show on Titans Radio. 877-848-2671. Christian in Nashville is our leadoff caller in this segment. Christian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Keith. Coach, great win last week. I'm glad we're where we're at right now. I think we're in a very good spot. Glad to be atop of the division. I got one quick question for you, and I thought it was a big key. We saw it was a very disciplined team last Sunday against the Colts. Only two penalties for 15 yards. Obviously, the turnovers are you'd like to cut down on those. But how big of that was that you just had two penalties as a team? And a very competitive AFC South battle, which we know the Colts and all the history between the Titans and get real physical. I thought that was a very good job of your team staying real composed and only two penalties. I thought that was a big key when the game was close, key moments of the game. I'll hang up and listen, and thank you, Coach.
Yeah, thanks, Kristen, for the call. And we're pretty adamant about the penalties. We have an officiating crew at every practice.
And those guys stay on them too.
No, they do. They do. They've been great. They have been really. We've had them through camp, through OTAs, and we go through the penalties after practice with the team. And it's amazing how they've even gone down as the season's gone on. But I think we're fifth right now. We were third until we played the Steelers. We had nine penalties that night. That was part of the loss. But we are up in there, and that's important. That's part of winning. I mean, those are things you can't overcome, and you're in complete control of most of those penalties that are called. So I'm proud of our team. That's important. That's about focusing on the task at hand and not being distracted and doing things. They're just doing things the right way.
Malika in Nashville, thank you so much for joining us. You're on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Coach. Good talking to you. You as well, Mr. Keith. Love the Titans. Love the show as always. I just wanted to ask you, it's a two-part quick question, Coach. My first question would be, how easy is it to know that you're about to play two backup quarterbacks? Of course, we're going to win. And my second question would be, is it easier? Do the players like the primetime games better where they get a day off, or do they like the regular Sunday games? Thank you. I'll hang up. Go Titans. Can't wait.
Thanks, Malika. Well, I'll answer the second one first. I think they like the Sundays. I think they like playing. I don't think they care about whether it's prime time or not. There's probably a little bit more juice. Yeah, I would say that night games that they are, and I think they know that typically if there's a night game, there's another day off somewhere in the week. So yeah, that's important to them, and I try to make it. I try to get them as much time away from here as I can because they're here a lot. And then you know, we never look at backup quarterbacks. This is the National Football League, and we look at the teams we're playing, and we have to be prepared for everything. And you know, these guys are all good football players, so we don't go in thinking we don't chalk up anything because their starters not. There's a lot of guys like that. A lot of teams in the league that are missing their starters right now and still playing at a high level. So wish that was an advantage, but we're going to take them like they're at full strength.
One of the cool things about this weekend in the NFL, it's the My Cause, My Cleats weekend, where the players get to wear cleats that show off their causes and bring to light some of the things that they feel like are important. Biggest number of Titans ever going to take part in My Cause, My Cleats this weekend. And really a nice thing that the league does to allow the players to put forth these efforts that they feel are important and near and dear to their hearts in a lot of different ways.
No, I think it's a great idea. I mean, I really do, because there's so many restrictions when they're in all the other parts. I mean, you know, we have a uniform, basically, officer that's, you know, sitting there in stretch and just the socks not pulled off. I mean, there's so many little things that they're so particular about. And then to give them an opportunity to show their cause and what they stand for and who they represent is a great thing. And it'll be really cool this Sunday to see these guys in their cleats.
They got to unbox them today. And if you go to TitansOnline.com, you can see a lot of their reactions because the cleats are done in different places by several different artists. And they send them in to the club's community relations department, and then they allow the players to see them today. And the reactions were, it was like a kid at Christmas.
Well, I can't wait to get on Titans Online to
there check. You go. There you go. All right, let's go to Joey in Franklin, Kentucky. Joey, thanks for standing by. You're talking to the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Go right ahead.
All righty, Jim. How are y'all tonight?
Good, Joey.
Okay, Coach, when I watch Carson Wentz, when I watch some of the best quarterbacks in the league, Coach, I noticed that they step up into the pocket really well and deliver the ball. I've noticed this year from Marcus, he seems kind of like really jumpy in the pocket compared to last year, and he's not being able to step up into the pocket and deliver the ball. My question is, do you think that is maybe because of the decline of the interior offensive line play that we've been kind of having an issue with this year? And can we get Marcus to step up into the pocket better? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, that's I appreciate the phone call, Joey. Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of times that we have not had a place to step up. Marcus has not had a chance to. And even this past game with the interception that he had with Taywan, you know, we had our left tackle was really in his lap. Tough to step into the throw, and the ball kind of sailed on him. So, yeah, we definitely have to do a better job of that. I think Marcus has gotten better in the pocket. He's certainly gotten better in the pocket with his ball security. I mean, that's been a big subject his first year and a half. You're seeing it right. We got to do a better job up front with that protection.
All right, let's go to Josh in Nashville. Josh, we welcome you to Titans Radio and the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing tonight?
Good, Josh. Thanks.
Good. Hey, first off, I got to say, you guys, I think you guys do a great job, 7-4, way better than we've been here in the past couple of years. Definitely keep it up. My only question is, I've been noticing more of, like, I think Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray, both great backs, but I'm seeing, like, do you think, like, DeMarco Murray could be more of, like, a receiving back and maybe Derrick Henry getting more carries throughout, I guess, the rest of the season as we progress?
Well, that's kind of what that took place this last game. If you know, especially in the fourth quarter when we got the run game going, Derrick was basically getting the large part of that. Some of that we just feel like plays more designed for what he can do. And then, you know, DeMarco, some of those third downs that he made got us, especially the last one where we needed to continue the drive to finish the game off. I mean, he's a really good back out of the backfield. But DeMarco, again, is still a very good runner. But we got to do a better job blocking, too. I mean, it's for both backs, we got to do a better job up front. And our line knows that, and I think they responded after a slow start in this past game.
All right, here's a Twitter question. By the way, phone number 877-848-2671. Twitter question, at Titans Radio. This one is from Brian. He wants to know, to what do you attribute the overall good health of the team this year? And I'll go ahead and do that for you.
Yeah,
knocking on, finding wood, knocking on it.
Yeah, really, you know, this is 2 years in a row at about the same time. We're pretty healthy. I mean, Richard with a hamstring, Denoris with an ankle, which, again, they're both day-to-day. They may be able to play Sunday, we're hoping. I attribute that a lot to the players, of how they take care of their bodies on and off the field. They do a lot of things pre-practice, post-practice. There's a lot more stretching involved, a lot more yoga. Our strength staff, Steve Watterson and his crew, and then our training staff, Todd Torricelli and his crew, really good with our players as far as recovery after games and getting our guys ready. And again, our lifting program is still pretty heavy duty, even this time of the year. I mean, that's the guys that play a long time in this league are the guys that take really good care of their bodies, the guys that continue to lift like they do in the off season. And it's a lot harder. I mean, your body is really beat up this time of year.
So let me ask you, when you played, did you lift in season at all?
I wish I would have.
But I'm thinking toward the end of your career, people were starting to lift in season, but it was generally just maintenance type.
Yeah, it was. This is still pretty, at least from where I've been, we still try to keep them at a high level of what we're doing so we can, you know, play at a high level.
Between that and, you know, acupuncture and massage and, you know, cold water and hot water, and nutrition is such a huge factor, to see all these players who take that so seriously. I mean, in 20 years that I've watched it, it's been a massive change.
Massive change. And even the way the rules now with the NFL, with the padded practices and the time restrictions in the offseason, I mean, there's a lot of things that if you really, you know, you take care of yourself, you could play a long time. You really can play a long time. And I think that's and play at a high level for a long time.
Let's get a call from Alan here before we need to go to break. Alan, thanks for joining us on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Yes. Does Marcus have any influence or input on the offense that's comfortable for him?
Yeah. Good question. He's actually in our quarterbacks meeting tonight, starting at 4:00. He's still in there until I'm done with the radio show. And he's gotten first, second, a good portion of third down, and he has a direct impact on what he likes, what he doesn't like to start, so we don't install it with the rest of the team. And then as we go through the week, if there's something in practice that he's uncomfortable with, by Friday, before we sit down and put the game plan and the call sheet together, he gets another once-over and says yes or no. And pretty much every week there's a couple plays here or there, we take him off the call sheet.
You have been with him since day one when he got to the National Football League. Is he much more vocal now about what he likes and what he doesn't like?
Yeah, I mean, he has to be. I mean, he's the one doing it. I mean, it would be easy for us, you know, for example, our third down packages. We let him rank which one he wants to throw. I'm not going to do it. I mean, Jason Michael, the quarterback coach, isn't going to. Doesn't have to do it. The guy that has to do it, let's see what he's most confident in. And I've done that. I've done that since I, you know, was a coordinator. I've done that for a long time. Let the quarterbacks give them your top play actions, your top dropbacks, your top third downs, so you know what they're confident in.
But it really is an evolution for those guys to step forward and say what it is they want, because when they come in, they want to be coachable. They don't want to be perceived as a diva. But you said it. At a certain point, you're the one doing it. You've got to step forward and say, you know, that didn't work for me. I love this instead.
Right. And again, you're going to visualize what you're going to see happen with the play call. And if you've got any bad thoughts, you have any negative feelings about it, then, you know, probably a good chance it's not going to be very successful.
877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Time for the Pinnacle moment of the game. Sign up for a Titans checking account with Pinnacle, and you could receive a $200 gift card for Titans gear and an autographed DeMarco Murray football. Details at TitansBanking.com. Pinnacle, play hard, bank easy.
High formation. The fullback is Murray. The tailback is Henry. Give Murray, diving at left guard. Yes, sir. Touchdown!
Titans. What a drive! I want to meet the guy who is more excited than me there. Did you hear that guy? That was not somebody.
That was exciting to listen to.
I know that wasn't somebody in our booth either. Somebody was saying, was that Dave McGinnis there? No, I don't know who that was. I guess he was down below us. There were a lot of Titan fans in Indianapolis.
Yeah, there was. You should have heard the sideline when he scored.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah, really good drive by those guys.
Well, you just knew. I mean, it's one of those ball games. When you took the lead, game was over. I know it wasn't literally, but I think everybody just felt they weren't scoring on that defense. And Brian Arakpo said it on the post game. He said they were not scoring on us. We had come back. We were going to win that ball game, and that is the belief this ball club has.
No doubt, no doubt. And that's really a good formula. What you saw there was our defense was, you know, tough to move it on, and kept getting the ball back to the offense. And then when the offense got it, they didn't give it back. You know, we scored. And we, you know, we took a knee there at the end of the game, but that 4 minute segment, I think we had the ball for 4 minutes, 16 seconds, something like that. And really some smart play by both backs of staying in bounds on some plays that, they could easily gone out and stop the clock, and, big runs, just a great way to finish the game when we had some slow moments in it.
Let's go to Smyrna for our next call. And this is Steven. Steven, thank you so much for joining us. You're on Titans Radio. Go right ahead.
Hey, Coach. My question for you tonight is, with every time I turn the radio on, the focus seems to be on us winning the AFC South, and it's been a long time since we've had this discussion. How are the younger players on the team dealing with this pressure, and how much do you guys focus on that, and how are you guys keeping an eye on the task at hand? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Stephen, and question. There's just enough guys in that room that have been through the hard times here and know how hard it is to get to where we're at right here. And there's a great group in that locker room that's helping these young players understand this is not how it is. This is hard to get in this position. And you got to stay focused, especially at this time of year when they may have another college season still to play. I mean, if you think about it, these rookies, this is they've just finished one, and they may have another one to go. And we've got some veterans that have been great in regards to just keeping the focus. And then we're talking about winning the next game and not worrying about one other thing that takes place in this league. We it was great what took place, but we don't sit there and concern ourselves because we have no control over it. So the only thing we can control is us continue to win, and we got to win number 8 this Sunday.
Well, and you go to 4-1 in the division too. I mean, because you put yourself in a position tiebreaker wise potentially, that
if that's what number 8 does, then if number 8 winning number 8 puts us there,
yeah,
that'd be great. But this team is just locked in.
That's all you're worried about,
winning the 8th game. Yeah,
good question on Twitter here. I think you're going to like this one. This is from Jay. Coach, for any rookie joining this team, what current player would you direct him that he should model his film study after? In other words, who should be the guy he should say, I'm going to watch film like so-and-so?
Boy.
That's a good question.
That's a great question. Logan Ryan would be one. The guy's got his iPad on every second of the day that I'm around him. He's one. Delanie Walker, Avery Williamson, obviously Marcus, DeMarco Murray, a lot of guys on the O-line, both outside backers, Rack and Morgan, Kevin Byard, probably another top guy. And you know what's really interesting is I have the ability to see who watches the most film. And the players know that.
You have film GPS.
I have an app on my, and I let them know that I know. And
is that a real thing?
No, that's a real thing. I know exactly because there's probably like on the offensive side, there's 40 different cut-ups you can look at. I can tell who's looked at the cut-ups. I can tell who's looked at them, how long they've looked at them. And I can tell even if a guy hasn't turned his iPad on.
See, I convinced my kids I had that on their cars when they turned 16. But honestly, don't tell them. That wasn't true. But you're saying this is true.
This is true. I know exactly who is on studying Yes, I do. And I think that I think some of them and the other thing I do is I put subliminal messages right in the middle of one of their installs. You know, I'll say, hey, if you see this, I'll get you, you know, free lunch or something if you get to me first, you know, just because I want to see.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I get guys texting me in the middle of the night. Hey, I, you know, and then I get a lot of guys that don't text me. And so, no, I know who's spending the time.
You know who's sleeping and who's awake.
I know who it's important to.
LeSean Sims was one of those guys in the offseason, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. He had a great offseason. And, yeah, he spends a lot of time as well.
It's really a great thing that you couldn't name just one guy that stood out.
Boy, I mean, just names were – I could have kept going.
Let me ask you, too, about inactives, because with a roster of available players due to health, normally in November and December, five or six of the choices are made for you. How hard is it to go through and pick your inactives when you have so many healthy scratches at this point in a season?
Very difficult. Very, very difficult. And we talk about them every day. And we have a staff meeting every day. I talk to John Robinson every day, about it. And it's very hard because these guys work hard. And to have to tell them basically Saturday night at our team meeting before the game Sunday that I can't dress them. And, again, that's an NFL rule. It's not my rule. But there's seven players, and all of them now are healthy. I mean, a lot of times you're going to have half of them are injured, and it's an easy one to put down for that week. Now it's hard because most of those guys are healthy.
Does it make it easier in some ways, however, that you can take a guy that you're not sure about health-wise and go on err on the side of caution because you have other people at that position to take care of the depth?
Yeah.
You can be more careful.
Yes, we can. We can. And we're fortunate that we have some depth at most positions that we can do that. Yes. It makes it easier. And it's not easier, but it's, I talk to these guys because I know they're down. And I was one of those guys. You know, I was a player, and this is when they started doing it, just towards the end of my career. And I was one of those inactives. I was inactive for a couple playoff games, and I played the whole season. And I was really playing injured most of the season, and got to the playoffs. And all of a sudden, there's one day my bag's not out in front of my locker, and you know it hits you. It really does. You're disappointed because you've spent so much time and effort, just like everybody else on the team. And that's why I don't understand why the rule exists.
It's an attention getter, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It definitely is.
Because if you're a healthy guy, you want to play football. Like a guy, you made the tough decision with Charleston Fowler on Sunday.
Yeah, that's hard for me to do that, you know. But, again, a lot of decisions, there's a lot that goes into every one of these guys, you know, because you just don't want to leave yourself. You could be caught shorthanded if you make the wrong decision with putting somebody down that you shouldn't.
And then you get a guy who's battling through, like Kevin Dodd, who's been coming on. Showed only played eight plays in the game on Sunday, but showed up.
Oh, he had a great week of work, and it showed up on Sunday. He has gotten better and better and better. You know why? Because he's been working at it harder and harder, and a lot of it's been on his own time.
And when you say improving, he's not in pads every day. He's not, you know, tackling somebody every day. Where have you seen that improvement, whether he's in pads or not?
Really the effort and, just, again, his iPad, studying of his iPad. there's just been a lot of things I can see, and I watch everybody. Body language, just how he pays attention in practice, just what he does in between drills. You know, he's one of the first ones here and there, and it's just a lot of things have changed. He's starting to get it, and it's starting to show up in his play.
Staying at the same position, are we talking enough about the year Derek Morgan is having? Is that being discussed enough?
I'm not sure. He's been really consistent. He's been really hard to block. He's, you know, obviously the sacks say a lot about him, but it's really, if you watch the run game trying to run to his side, he sets an edge. It's hard to get anywhere if you go his way.
He's a big man.
He is a big man, and he's another one of those guys that does a lot of things to take care of his body, and he's going to play a long time.
Well, in the ball game, he has five tackles, he has the sack, eight quarterback pressures. How do you score a quarterback pressure? Because those aren't given out very easily.
No, He's around the quarterback a lot. I mean, he is around the quarterback a lot. And if you remember now, he had the other sack, too, that got, you know, the
wiped
the,
off.
We got wiped off because of the hands to the face penalty, which, again, is disappointing for him. But, yeah, he's been just so consistent for us.
And here comes Arakpo. You know, a couple weeks ago, he's got one sack, and you're sitting here watching Arakpo saying, yeah, he's playing too well to just have one sack, and now he's up to four, and you get an idea that number is just going to continue to spring up. He's played too well to just have four sacks.
He's been close a lot.
A lot.
And we've played way more mobile guys than we have in the past, in the last couple of years. And he's been much more disruptive than he's getting credit for.
Another guy like that is Walden.
Yeah.
And Walden, you know, is giving you really quality snaps wherever you line him up.
We're talking about some guys that are violent players. I mean, they like contact. I'm glad I don't have to block them. And Walden has been a great addition. I mean, there is no drop-off when he goes in the football game. And to have three of them on the field at the same time, that is a problem for offenses.
Best game you've ever seen out of Daquan Jones?
Yes. Yeah. Started early. And continued for the whole game.
It was amazing, too, because another good game statistically for Jarrell Casey, but you have eight sacks and he doesn't have one of them. Almost amazing.
That's unheard of. Yeah, but he had a lot to do with the other eight. I mean, I can tell you. he takes a lot of pressure. It takes a lot of pressure off some of these other guys.
It is so much fun watching this defense come on right now, and what a good time to have it happen.
Yep, and that's they got to continue to do that, and I think if we got the right people in that room, and Coach LeBeau has done a great job putting game plans together for us.
Going to need it again this week against a balanced offense.
Yes, very balanced, very, very good offense, playing well right now.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for the time.
Okay, Mike, thanks.
Coach Dave McGinnis is going to stop by, our Titans radio broadcast partner, to talk about Indianapolis and to talk about Houston and other things going on with the Tennessee Titans, including a great day at Mr. Football. Coach Mack comes next on the Mike Mularkey Show. The Mike Mularkey Show continues on Titans Radio, joined by my Titans Radio partner, Dave McGinnis. Monday, a special day at Nissan Stadium, Tennessee Titans, Mr. Football. Now, since you got here in August, you have become Mr. High School Football in the state of Tennessee, haven't you?
Mike, let me tell you something. I grew up in the state of Texas where Friday night lights are big. I've been coaching in this league for 32 years. I've seen a lot of organizations do things. This is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I told Josh Corey, this was outstanding. You were outstanding, too. The job that job you did emceeing, all that money I paid for my ticket, it was worth it.
Well, I'm glad you feel like it was, and I'm just wondering, with the Blue Cross Bowl games in Cookeville Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, if you might sneak up for a little BA against MBA Saturday night for the Division II Class AAA title. Is there any? Because you've been following the Big Red this year.
You know, Coach Mack may show up because I'm telling you what, I've been so impressed with the high school football this year. Seriously, it's been a lot of fun seeing this and then seeing this collection here and what the Titans organization did for high school football here today, just what I witnessed. It's outstanding. So, yeah, you might see me. So don't save me a seat there, will you?
All right. So let's talk seriously, too, about the improvement in high school football over the 20 years because of the NFL influence. Not only have the players come in and stayed and their kids end up being players, but former players become coaches. Just the overall infusion that an NFL team brings into a market, and I think 15, 20 years later, we're really starting to see the effects of it.
You're exactly right, Mike. And I've worked for, you know, when I worked for the Bears organization for 10 years, of course, Chicago, the Bears have been there a long time. In Arizona, you know, the people at the Rams are doing a great job. But here, what I noticed is everybody is involved, and you could see just with the involvement of everybody in the organization today, and an NFL franchise in a city, in a region, in a state is a huge influence. And the NFL, there is so much good. I've been involved in this league for 32 years as a head coach. I know what good things the NFL does in a community, and what I'm witnessing here, not only in Nashville but in the state of Tennessee, it's pretty cool.
Promoting the game.
Absolutely.
All right, Coach, let's talk about another good thing, and that's the Titans win over Indianapolis. as you reflect on the 20-16 victory on Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium, what jumps out to you as the most important points, either good or bad or in between?
Well, the first thing, let's talk about good, the resolve that this football team had. I never really felt like, even when the score started separating, not in our favor, that we were in danger of losing the ball game. It was just a matter of when we got jump started. The thing that I noticed, there was no panic on the Titans sideline. You could see a sense of urgency, but also a sense of calm and a sense of confidence in what was going on. You know, of course, with the two turnovers early in the football game and then not being able to, you know, to punch it in the red zone, you knew it's just like the first Indianapolis game here on Monday night. It was a tight game until the Titans finally said, enough's enough, put their foot to the floor, and got it done. You and I talked about it during the broadcast. We saw what Monachino was doing, keeping them from running the ball inside. Once they started with their outside run game, the pass game started opening up. My favorite play of the whole game was the corner route when they threw to Delanie Walker, when they had five people on him and he caught it. Sometimes you've got to throw those and hit it to spread them out. But the win was huge because you know what it means coming into this week, Mike.
Is Derrick Henry emerging?
Oh, Derrick Henry. I mean, you know, when I was with the Rams, we vetted him very hard and watched him. I mean, this guy's the real deal. I mean, but what I like about it is he reminds me a lot of Eddie George. You know, when Eddie was here, Eddie got stronger as the game went on. You know, I was in Chicago with Walter Payton. Walter may have two and three quarters where he was held in check, but all of a sudden at the end of the ball game, you look up, he's got 110, 120, and most of them were in the fourth quarter when it really counted. And so that looks to me like what's emerging with Derrick Henry.
The Titans' pass game still not totally in sync. Is it because that they're having to still work in pieces? Is this just still basically a work in progress?
Well, absolutely, but you can see it getting better. There's instances, and again, when Marcus really sets his foot in the ground and has the proper footwork and everything is in sync and cuts it loose, he can throw as well as anybody in this league. What I would say with the turnovers that have happened in the last couple of weeks, and I know this, I know Mike Mularkey, I know his staff, you know Marcus, his confidence level, that's not going to keep him from continuing to spin the ball. And so it's going to be there, but this is a complete team, and this football team knows how to pick each other up in segments. And so I expect that passing game to come along, but at the same time, the defense has to keep playing. The defense has to keep being consistent, and the more turnovers this defense can produce, the better off we're going to be down the stretch.
The 8 sacks, Dave McGinnis, in the Sunday win at Indianapolis. How much confidence does this give this pass rush after they've had a season of getting pressure, but through 10 games, not getting a lot of sacks?
You and I, Mike, have talked about it all during the season. The pressure has been there. The sacks are coming. But I'll tell you who I want to give a lot of credit to is the coverage, because you could see Brissett in that ball game was setting his feet, and then he was not very comfortable. I told you early on in that ball game, he was confused by what Dick LeBeau was doing, the way he was bogeying and moving around his coverages, and then he started looking at the rush. He started looking at the rush, and once you get a quarterback looking at the rush, you've got him where you want him.
Texans going to play the same type of defense that the Colts did, trying to stop the run from the jump?
No, absolutely they will, and they're gonna set their edges probably a little bit better than what happened up there at Indy. They will set the edges a little bit harder. This football team, the Titans going into this ball game, they're gonna look at what happened down there in Houston. They're gonna eliminate those types of things that they know gave them problems. But I expect this is gonna be another very physical game. I told you last week going in there, that game bothered me just because, you know, when you're looking at Indy, you might have some people think, well, you know, this is kind of a show up, come in here and we'll come out of here with a win. I don't think we're going to have that problem this week because of what happened earlier in the season. This team's got a sense of resolve to it, and they owe the Texans one, because that is something that they want to erase.
All right, let's play true or false on some of the NFL mindset. Number one, it's a big advantage to the Titans that the Texans play on the road at Baltimore on Monday night. True or false?
True. I mean, I've coached in this league for 32 years, and everything has a cause and effect. You're traveling on Monday night. You've got a shorter week. Now, again, does that mean that you can't win the next week? Not at all. But is it an advantage? A little bit. But let me ask you this, Mike. Would you rather be sitting here at home, practicing in your place, getting ready, and you've done it a lot of years in this league, you know what a short week does to you. So, true.
True. true or false, the Titans will be motivated by the fact, or at least the defense will be motivated by the fact, they gave up 57 in Houston on October 1st.
No doubt. And you saw what this defense has done since that game. Again, I've been involved with professional athletes in this league for 32 years. The least and last thing a professional athlete in this league wants to be is embarrassed. Okay, and you've seen the resolve since they've come back. So believe me, it's not going to be – the primary focus is beating them this week, but believe me, they know.
True or false, Mike Mularkey is going to mention the final score more than 10 times.
He doesn't even have to mention it. False. They know the score. They know the score. I promise you. You're dealing with grown men. They know what happened. He won't have to say a word. Just go to work.
What an opportunity, though. You win this one. You're 8-4 overall. You're 4-1 in the division after going 2-4 in the division last year. You win another home game, and you set up the last quarter of the season to be as big as it can be. I mean, this is a huge football game for the Tennessee Titans.
November, December football that matters in the National Football League. It only gets better when they start having bunting on the field out there and it says NFL playoffs. These games are pre-playoff games. These games are real. November, December football, the National Football League that matters, it's big time.
Coach Mack, you're the best.
I'll see you, brother.
Dave McGinnis with us on Titans Radio. The Mike Mularkey Show is produced by Brandon Hagerty. Titans Radio producer is Brad Willis. Promotions director, Marie Misha. Traffic director, Kendra Holt. Director of sales, Hunter Rice. General manager, Allison Warren. Operations manager, Charlie Cook. And the executive producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryan. For Mike Mularkey and Dave McGinnis, Mike Keith reminds you that we're on the air this Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Time, noon Eastern Time, with Titans Countdown before the Titans and the Texans kick off at 12:01 Central at Nissan Stadium. We hope you'll join us for AFC South football this Sunday here on Titans Radio. Good night, everybody.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.